Now back to the Tribune's Rick Pearson. It's the Sunday Spin on 720 WGN.
Good Sunday morning. Welcome back to the Sunday Spin. I'm Rick Pearson of the Chicago Tribune. 312-981-7200 is our phone number. I'm here in the Allstate Showcase Studio here on Michigan Avenue in Tribune Tower. And joining me on the phone this morning is Gregory Bays. He's the president and CEO of the Illinois Manufacturers Association. Greg, thanks for getting up with me this morning.
Good morning. How are you today?
I'm great. I want to take one moment. I'm looking at the editorial that appeared today in the Quad City Times, and I just want to read from it, if you'll bear with me. We thought long and hard last week about our position as the General Assembly moved toward adjournment. Fact is, it's all been said. No measure of rage or righteous indignation from any corner of the state will quash the personal feud between Rauner and Madigan. Neither man stands to benefit from sudden consensus. This is all about the 2018 election. This is about Madigan's desire to oust Rauner and again make Illinois a one-party state. It's about Rauner's lust for weakening Madigan's veto-proof dominance in the House. In the end, voters in Illinois might be left with a Faustian choice come 2018. Both sides own this now. No voter revolt in districts held by backbenchers of either party will fix it. What do you think, Greg?
Well, I think that sums it up. I mean, it is the frustration I hear from my members and what I hear from just regular people who come up to you and say, what's going on down there? There's this incredulous feeling that how can they not solve this problem? The kind of destruction across the landscape of Illinois is everywhere. Social service agencies, students wondering if they'll have MAP grants this fall when they go to school, to schools even opening. So the level of anger that's out there is palatable. And I know that the leaders in Springfield understand it, but we have got ourselves painted into a corner, and people don't want to get out of it. And I think the suggestion has to be you got to go find another corner here real quick, or the damage that's being done to the state, it may well be irreversible in many senses.
Well, and you look at the fact that, basically just hours after the legislature adjourned, two of the credit agencies downgraded Illinois once again, sending other agencies that are accountable for receiving state money into junk bond status, Illinois just hovering above junk bond status. And in any solution for this, there'll be some need to do some borrowing, and so those costs grow ever exponentially. Right. And as you said, the hole just keeps getting deeper and deeper.
I think we've got to focus on what can be done. Here before June 30th, there is that glimmer of hope that there could be some kind of solution before that, and different ideas that are floating around need to be explored. I mean, the Senate solution that was talked about endlessly through the spring session, the grand bar, had all the elements of what need to be accomplished here. We were very close in getting some things done there from some of the business standpoint of what we're interested in. We're right there. The spending, people have got to understand the spending issue. We're generating about $32 billion a year, a lot of money. But the problem is we're spending on paces somewhere in the $37 billion arena. We have got to close that gap. It does need revenues. Members of the business community, such as myself, who lobby down there, have been saying that all year. We've been saying actually the number one priority is get the fiscal house in order. Illinois has spent well beyond its means for way too long, and that's really what got us to this point. The feud that you mentioned that the Quad City Times talks about has been there. There is no doubt about that. Governor Rauner has made it very clear the trajectory that Illinois has been on, we can't continue that direction. We have to change that. I think even Speaker Madigan understands that. He just says it will be done on terms that will not hurt the constituencies that he represents. So the point here is that people have to continue to apply pressure. I think the mayor of the city of Chicago is still a key element of making that happen. I think the kind of tech that's reported in the Tribune this morning or yesterday about the education bill, urging Governor Rauner to consider that as a potential is the kind of language and rhetoric we need to have more than the rhetoric that we have been hearing, especially in the last weeks of the session.
I just worry that we've gone so far into 2018 politics at such an early stage that, I mean, that's the corners.
Right. Well, there is no doubt that the emergence of Pritzker as a candidate and television commercials and sort of the switch being flipped on 18, I think, did have some influence in the waning weeks. Not being critical, I mean, the political seasons start earlier and earlier. But that added an element that really was not there early in the legislative session, not blaming the campaign. But that started to change, and I think the attitude of some Democrats, who you, as mentioned in the editorial, you know, all we got to do 18 months really isn't all that much. We can now wait this guy, and we'll beat him. And I think that that feeling is there among some Democrats.
But in the meantime, the crumbling just of the state just continues.
That is true. That is true. So I think, Rick, that the idea of trying to find possibly a temporary spending plan that could get us through the next 2 years ought to be an idea that is explored, a notion that, heck, even as crazy as looking at, do we need to continue? Do we make the pension payment for the next year? Governor Christie in New York in New Jersey as an example. During his financial, he got a bill passed to adjust the amount of money that's sent in there each year or each month. So, you know, there are ideas out there floating around that could temporarily arrest this problem. And maybe we just got to fight it out one more time in this election cycle as a notion. So any of the ideas that have been talked about need to be re-explored, talked about what can we get 36 and 71 is the but you're not going to solve this problem unless you have everybody on both sides agreeing to something.
Well, you were part of a group of business interests that held a press conference on the final day, scheduled day of the legislative session.
Right.
That referred to the work of this legislature as one of the work of this session being one of the worst for employers. And you, in talking about the Senate grand bargain kind of proposal, one of those issues that was under discussion was the issue of workers' compensation changes. But what ultimately got adopted was not the result of the compromise that everybody had been talking about.
No, it was a slap in the face at the business community, really. The fact that many want to point that the 2011 reforms have not and workers' comp have not done what many feel it should have. So one of the responses to that is that we should set up a state fund. Now let's think about this for your listeners real quick to think that the state of Illinois, the way it's operating today, can, quote, get into the insurance business, run an insurance company that provides workers' compensation benefits for workers more efficiently than the 300 companies that are writing insurance plans in the state of Illinois right now. I don't believe anybody's going to believe that that's a real solution. It's really just a way, it's a talking point for those on the other side of this issue to obfuscate the real issue, the fact that we have the eighth highest cost in the country. Our medical costs are much higher than our surrounding states, and that we need to continue to make some fundamental reforms to bring Illinois back into the middle of the pack. Just 10 years ago, 12 years ago, we were 23rd highest in the country, and we could get back to that if we would make those changes. The worst session in our memory, the comment that was made, is really brought on not only by workers' comp, by the fact that the $15 minimum wage was passed. That is a message sent to the business community, which would put Illinois at the very top ranks in that particular area. It happens in manufacturing. It's in retailing. It would ripple through the entire business community of making us less competitive. There are other paid family leave. Family leave is a very important issue in how it's done. But this General Assembly even went so far in its last session for companies that have family leave, regulated how they give family leave. This state government can't keep its nose out of how business operates. And that's what causes leaders of organizations such as ours, the retail merchants and others, to say, hold on here for a minute.
We're speaking to Greg Bays. He's the president and CEO of the Illinois Manufacturers Association. I'm Rick Pearson. This is the Sunday Spin. See each other nails, into the soles and the Sunday Spin. I'm Rick Pearson of the Chicago Tribune. Joining me on the phone is Greg Bays, President and CEO of the Illinois Manufacturers Association. And we're talking about businesses' reaction to what didn't get done, what did get done in the Illinois legislative session as it continues, as we still continue to go without a budget past 700 days. And, Greg, before the break, you were talking about some of the other items, the, quote, dirty dozen items that were the legislature did. But I want to go back to the issue of workers' comp, because I keep hearing from various interests that before the negotiations broke apart, that on the issue of workers' comp, that the sides were very close to getting an agreement. Is that the case?
It was. We were involved in the discussions between the Senate President's office and others on a bill that would have moved the ball forward. It wasn't going to be a radical change of things. But, you know, Rick, you and I have been around a long time. You don't get everything you want in Springfield. You keep moving the ball forward. And we literally were down to the last. There was one sentence that was being talked about. I know people got scratched their head and think, one sentence, what do you mean? Well, unfortunately, words matter in legislation. And then discussions were broken off. And they were done so not so much about the issue of work comp. It was all part of the inability to move forward on the education funding issue, on some of the other revenue sources. And so it was caught up as the discussion of this all went forward, the grand bargain. And there was a pullback. There were discussions about something as arcane as AMA or American Medical Association guidelines. Those are the guidelines used by the Work Comp Commission to settle impairment issues. What is the level and the degree of impairment that you may have suffered in an injury? A lot of people adamantly oppose it and say, we just can't have it. 35 states use it as its exclusive remedy. It's not the end of the world, you know, on either side, if you're just willing to accept a compromise. And unfortunately, those elements who fight mightily against any kind of change in workers' compensation laws, those are the interests that I hate to use the terminology, but I'll use it, feed off of the system. It's a $3 billion system each and every year that goes forward. And those interests don't want to see anything change, because workers' comp is very, very lucrative to those who in the medical community or in the legal community are around it.
Right. I mean, it's, what happened to the days where you kind of had that, I guess, the old agreed bill process of...
Well, that had gone by the wayside. Some elements, both on the Democratic side and even Governor Rauner, had been critical of the agreed bill process. The fact that it was just that, you agreed to not go too far, would be the criticism of it. It worked, but it also only worked, Rick, when you had the leadership in the General Assembly and the governor imposing from the top that the interest groups involved, labor, business, come to an agreement. They would be pushing from the top down to pressure those kind of solutions. That's not there any longer, and so therefore that old process just does not work.
I always thought, at least, as you said, it forced compromise. And granted, it may not have moved the ball that greatly, but at least it was dictated, don't come out of that room until you got an agreement.
That's right. And, Rick, as we also know, that when big things are accomplished in Springfield, you have to have the leadership, both in the executive and the legislative branch, communicating and working together, because it just happens. It has to work that way, that the pressure comes from people. If it's the education funding issue, as an example, that's being talked about. The agreement that got passed is nowhere near much of the discussions that were going on about that issue. Again, it was sort of a left turn was made toward the end of the General Assembly, that we're going to go ahead and we're going to pass some things. But damned with what Republicans are saying. We're not going to take their good ideas and solutions, which they've only been talking about the day before, and move forward. So things got politicized in the last really 72 hours or longer in the waning days there. And then it was a session that just ended with a thud. you and I have seen a lot of things go on in Springfield. The chain gang, we had the demonstrations down there this week, and remember ERA. We remember Governor Thompson essentially stopping the clock to save the White Sox stadium.
Keep them in Chicago,
We've seen a lot of things occur when the will is there. This problem can be solved. Unfortunately, the will has not arrived at everybody's doorstep strongly enough.
Well, you mentioned kind of the left turn that the legislature took at the end, and things like raising the minimum wage and some of these other pieces of legislation, which ultimately just seem to be bills that were Democratic initiatives that are going to a Republican governor with the knowledge that he's going to veto them, and it just becomes part of the, once again, just this political chatter rather than really any progress on either side.
It really is, and what really is driving, I think, those of us who watch this process work really just sort of be crazy about this is that how can you let this continue? Unfortunately, one of the pressures that always was there was the fact that you had to get state employees paid. When public employee unions went to a judge in St. Clair County, got a court order to continue to pay state employees, literally in August 2 years ago, when this impasse first started. And so the state employees continue to be paid. Governor Rauner supports that. He doesn't want to see state government stop. But if you did not have that particular court ruling, which Lisa Madigan is moving forward slowly through the courts to try to overturn, and state employees were not being paid, how quickly do you think this problem would get solved? It'd be solved fairly quickly. But the pressure points that have been there in the past have been relieved. And without those pressure points, there is no interest or desire to really get it done. And we've now arrived at the political season of 2018 that even makes this more difficult.
Well, and as you touched on earlier, too, about not knowing about schools opening, and part of me just wonders if the fact of having school openings in the fall in jeopardy might be the pressure point.
Well, it was suggested by some that the school superintendents of the state do have a key here, saying that those who have are very close to insolvency, and there are those that are like that around the state, inform their athletic directors that the kids can't go out on the football field in August to start practicing for the fall football season. If you had that start occurring across the state, again, there would be a huge outroar. It would all of a sudden, the state government would be touching into homes that it doesn't normally
touch. Exactly.
And so if you have some things start to occur like that, school districts that can't open, Rahm Emanuel said he's going to move heaven and earth to make sure that the Chicago school open. But if all of a sudden you have those kind of situations occur, again, that pressure will build enormously on those in Springfield.
We've been speaking with Greg Bays. He's the president and CEO of the Illinois Manufacturers Association. Greg, thanks so much for joining me this morning.
Good talking to you, Rick. Thank you.
We'll be back with more right after this.